This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, the gentleman who calls the play-by-play on the Cleveland Browns television network during the preseason, he's Mr. Jay Crawford. Hello, Jay.
Andy, Jeff, how are you guys? Good morning.
Good, man. Jay. How are you?
Good. Loving your speculation as to what John will say on the draft. Here's my view on general managers and pre-draft talk.
Yeah.
It's the only time lying is good. If your lips are moving, you better be lying.
Isn't that the truth, Jay?
That's it.
Absolutely the truth.
I just have visions of that song coming out of John Dorsey's mouth.
The thing that's nice about this, though, he has made enough moves with the current roster where I'm sure after he lies about the draft, then he can go ahead and actually comment about players who are on the football team. So that's not bad.
It's good. And look, in past drafts for the Browns, lying was important because we were at the top. So you don't want to tip your hand. Really, for John Dorsey, this is a reactionary draft. He has to react to everything that happens in front of him, which, when was the last time the Browns were the last team to pick in the draft?
There you
Ever?
Go. Yeah, that's interesting.
So, you know, he'll just sit back and he'll, you know, they're doing their due diligence now. They're making their list of athletes that they want at every position, and they're assigning grades, and the guys that are at the top of their boards that are still on the board when they select, that's who they'll take. So it's pretty simple for them this year.
Jay, how did Odell Beckham Jr. change the face of the franchise? Like, where were you when you found out we got him, and what went through your mind when you found out we got him?
I was driving, and I almost got into a wreck.
Shocker.
I mean, a little bit of exaggeration, but I kind of felt like something was going to happen along those lines. I knew that the Browns hadn't given up on him, and I knew that they were sort of looking at that as, look, if an Odell Beckham was coming out in the draft this year, where would he be taken? At the very top.
Yeah.
And there's no question about that. So it was a move that they identified was one that could help their football team, and they went out and did it. And it was so refreshing to see management of a Cleveland sports team be that aggressive. You know, we're not used to that kind of move-making. So where does it put us? It puts us squarely in the playoff conversation. I'm not going to say it makes us a Super Bowl favorite or even the AFC favorite, but I will say that we're a contender, and that's all you can ask for in the middle of April leading into a season. So, and I also think, too, I think it was very important in talking to a lot of my friends nationally that obviously observe the Browns but don't root for them as vigorously as we do. It just legitimizes everything about this team. We saw a lot of things happen last year in the regular season that brought the Browns into the conversation, and this was just the exclamation point to all of that. So, you know, it definitely legitimizes this. You can't see a national pundit talk about the Browns now without them drooling over their talent and their prospects for 2019, and that's all we've ever wanted. We're in the mix again.
Jay Crawford joining us. You can hear him calling play-by-play during the preseason on all of the preseason games. And all four this year, right, Jay?
All four, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that'll be nice. And on the Cleveland Browns television network, we went through, played the schedule game. You know, everybody looks, wins, losses, where is it going to be? I just don't think the NFL did the Browns any favors with what I think, Jay, is a pretty tough start. And I still have them going 10-6. I think they're going to come on and play really well. But I think they're going to have to find themselves as opposed to maybe coming out of the chute, really being dominant early on. I mean, they still can, but really being dominant early on and maybe having a shot at that 12-4, 13-3 season. You still can do that. I just think it's more of a challenge based on the way the schedule is stacked.
Yeah, you really want to use the first quarter of the season, which are the September games, as a ramp to your success. It's, as you know, the stats bear out. You start 1-3, and I'm not for a second insinuating that this team will, but if you start 1-3, your prospects of making the playoffs are substantially reduced. That's just the numbers as they bear out over the previous 53 seasons in the Super Bowl era. So obviously you'd love to have a couple of cupcakes there at the beginning. The easiest of the four games is the Jets, but it's in New York and it's on a Monday night.
Yep.
So, you know, you can make a very strong case that that first quarter of the season will be the most difficult for the Browns. Now, Jeff, to your point, the good news on that is just come through that 2-2. That really is your gauntlet. I mean, I'm not nuts about the fact that there's, you know, two Steelers games in the span of, what is it, 16 or 17 days?
Yeah, three weeks.
That's stupid. I don't, you know, I know that the NFL schedulers have a million things to consider, but you should never play a team twice in that short of a time span. I just think, you know, especially, I know it's the rivalry and you got to play them twice, but I think those games could have been spaced out a little bit better. But after that, you know, we have the other Super Bowl team. So within our first 7 games of the season, we're playing both of the Super Bowl teams. There are 5 teams that made the playoffs, which I think is a good number for the Browns. There are, I think, 8 teams that had winning records, or 8 games against teams that had winning records. But when you look at the overall numbers, you know, the overall schedule of the 16 teams that we, or the 16 games that we have next year, it's a losing record. It's 123-131-2. So that is the collective record of the opponents for the Browns next season. And that's in large part, that's pretty good. I would much rather have it, you know, 8 games below 500 than 8 games above.
Yeah, I was reading, I thought I read this morning that it was the 5th easiest schedule in the NFL, if you look at it from what you're saying. All right, so let me go.
I like it.
Yeah, let me say this, and because we all have this background. Jay, when you were sitting at the Four Letter Network and you saw how games were getting picked, can we give folks an idea of how the media gets their hands, the networks get their hands on these games and say, I want this game, I want that game, and maybe try to explain why the Browns are on national TV so many times early compared to late in the season?
Yeah, I do think that, you know, the networks pay, you know, large sums of money to get premier games. I'll say historically that the NFL has been in a schedule, and it doesn't make sense because you're really cutting off your nose to spite your face. But for really the better part of 12 years, the NFL has continually handed ESPN a second-rate primetime schedule, which is, it's just confusing to me because they are, Monday night used to be the marquee game. That was the must-see game of the week.
That was it.
And the NFL over the course of the last 12 years has taken that from Monday night to Sunday night. And Sunday night always seems to get the sexiest game. And then they have flex rights later in the season, which is confounding to me as well. So in terms of, you know, is there a lobbying process that goes on? No, there isn't. The league comes up with that, and they throw out the schedule, and everybody has to live by what it reads. But if you pay attention, you'll see that the top games are now on Sunday night with Dallas and New York and, you know, a strong emphasis on the NFC East. And the reason for that is the population bases tend to benefit those towns. You have the Cowboys, which if Sunday night could, they would just, you know, they're the Notre Dame network. They would love to just be the Dallas Cowboys network and just run every Cowboys game all year long. They know that they're going to get a built-in number with that. And if you throw New York in, the country's largest market, that's always a recipe for a big number. So the Giants, the Cowboys games are always going to be on Sunday night football. And even now that the Giants are going through the bottom end of their talent cycle, it's just the NFL, for whatever reason, tends to give NBC priority, and then ESPN gets the second-tier games on Monday night, and then it seems that Thursday night games are attractive, but of the national games, clearly the third tier. Now, look, this isn't any information I have. This is just my own observations from looking at how the schedule plays out and who gets what games. This is just, you know, I don't have any inside information. I'm certainly not even supposing that this is all done intentionally, but there is a large body of evidence that supports that Sunday night gets far and away the best games, and then Monday night. There are years I look at the Monday night schedule and I'm like, was this done randomly?
Yeah.
Was there any thought put into this? Who wants to see this game on a Monday night? But look, I'm thrilled that the Browns get the four primetime games. As for the fact that they happen to be early, I think that might be a little trepidation on the league. Maybe they're not completely sold yet that this is a turn-the-corner operation. And maybe they were a little fearful of giving the Browns a lot of primetime play in the second half of the season for fear that they might not be the Super Bowl or playoff contender that everybody seems to think they are.
And, Jay, that's interesting. Andy said the same thing. My only thought is it goes back to what you said and what I've said. Andy agreed with the tough start. You could end up with the Browns sitting at 1-3 on a Monday night game against San Francisco. And that's not what you want either, because I think they've got a chance to run the table late. I think they could be really good late in the season, but they're going to have to fight back from what could be a difficult start.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, that would be a nightmare if you had a 1-3 Cleveland team against a San Francisco team, which a lot of people thought were going to be very good last year, and then the Garoppolo thing happened. And, you know, they're still a mystery team for this year, but that's the kind of thing I'm saying. You wouldn't see, you know, that Cleveland-San Francisco game, which, you know, there is a fear factor there that could unravel. Note that game was given to ESPN and not NBC. You know, the fact that you're going to see two of the game's emerging teams and great young quarterbacks that third week on Sunday night, you know, I think there's a lot of national intrigue about the Browns. The fact that they've been so bad for so long, that's actually made them a curious follow for fans in the Midwest and even the West, just because of how bad they've been. And, you know, look, when you were watching Tiger over the weekend, the fact that he's polarizing, you either love him or you don't, but everybody has to watch.
Yeah, you're watching.
And I think with the Browns, I think, you know, they're one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL. And their return to dominance or even relevance is important to the NFL. I think it's a big stride for the NFL to have a market like this with the most rabid fan base proven once again in the NFL. It helps the league. It helps everybody if they're good. So I think the national interest in this team is big. And I also think there is a possibility for some of their late games to be flexed to NBC.
I agree.
You know, you could see that Browns-Ravens game on, I think it's a couple days before Christmas. It's the second to last game. I think it's Christmas week. You know, perhaps a game like that gets flexed. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Jay, look forward to hearing you calling games, because that means here comes the football season.
Yeah, we can't wait.
Absolutely.
Jay, you and Tim did a nice job last year, by the way, Jay. I don't know
Thank
if I told
sir.
You that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jay, thanks, buddy.
You're my idol. You know that.
Thought it was me, Jay.
You make it very tough to live up to those standards.
See you, Jay.
Goodbye,
thanks, buddy.
Jay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.